the name of the God who created us, the Christ who sustains us, and the Spirit who holds us all, welcome home, children of God. It is an absolute joy to see everyone this morning. I want to begin by saying a word of thank you for your cards and your texts and your calls to Brian and to me. The rumors of my demise were much exaggerated, and I'm afraid the doctors say you're stuck with me for a while longer. I do really appreciate all the care while I was in the hospital last weekend. Luckily, it was nothing but General Assembly stress that landed me there, so easily cured. But I do want to thank you all for the care you showed to Brian and to me. It meant a great deal to us. In your bulletin this morning, you will find an insert that has information about things going on in the life of the church. The two I will lift up to you are the two I've been lifting up almost every week, Midweek Manna Bible Study and our yoga group. If you would like to join either of those, I hope that you will. Midweek Manna is on Wednesdays at noon, available by Zoom or in person downstairs in the chapel, and yoga is on Thursday mornings downstairs in the chapel. These are great opportunities to come and take a break during the week for yourself. We have a wonderful discussion on Wednesdays at Manna, and I'm hearing great things about yoga. So if either of those are of interest to you, I hope that you will take advantage of those. Friends, let's calm our hearts. Let's still our souls. And together, let us prepare to worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship. What mysteries there are in God's world. We so sophisticated, stand in awe at the wonders of the natural world. We look at the tiniest of seeds and wonder what will happen. From that small seed will grow a large shrub. Although we consider our gifts to be small and insignificant, God will use our gifts in miraculous ways. Praise the God of small seeds and mighty power. Amen. Will you pray with me? God of small seeds and mighty plants, you take our meager lives and with your love cause them to produce acts of loving kindness for you in this world. You hear our cries and find us when we are lost and wandering in fear. You bring us home with you so that we may be made whole, rejoicing in your goodness. Help us to joyfully serve you all our days, knowing that you are always watching over us. Prepare our hearts to receive your word and our spirits to respond in eagerness to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join me in the call to confession. If we say we are completely put together, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our distractions, our errors, and our anxieties, God will meet us and renew us. Together, let us confess our sins against God and one another. Merciful God, you plant each of us like seeds in the same field, and together we are nourished and nurtured by the sun. We sway in the wind and are refreshed by the rain. We are blessed by the knowledge that you want us to grow towards what you call us to be. When we deprive others of that same opportunity, forgive us. When we want to uproot those whom we believe do not belong in our part of the field, forgive us. When we label others as good or bad, rather than accept them for who they are, forgive us. When we are reluctant to acknowledge that we ourselves are a mixture of weeds and wheat, forgive us. When we are afraid to look into the fields of our own lives to see what is growing there, forgive us. Oh God, you know us inside and out, through and through. You search us out and lay your hand upon us. You know what we're going to say even before we speak. So we pray that you will help us to reach out to the uprooted and rejected, the lonely and the outcast, and to develop and grow the good in ourselves and others and in the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, the proof of God's amazing love is this, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors. Our reading this morning, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of Matthew, comes to us from the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus is in parable mode in chapter 13. One after the other, Jesus teaches in parables, stories of the kingdom of God. As we prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed, friend, let's go to God in the word and prayer. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and our minds, that as your word is read and proclaimed, it may truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Amen. Well, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like someone who planted good seed in his field. While people were sleeping, an enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and went away. When the stalks sprouted and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. The servants of the landowner came and said to him, "Master, didn't you plant good seed in your field? How then are there weeds?" "An enemy has done this," he said. The servant said to him, "Do you want us to go and gather them?" But the landowner said, "No, because if you gather the weeds, you'll pull up the wheat with them. Let both grow side by side until the harvest. And at harvest time, I'll say to the harvesters, first gather the weeds and tie them together in bundles to be burned, but bring the wheat into my barn." He told another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's the largest of all vegetable plants. It becomes a tree that the birds in the sky come and nest in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in a bushel of wheat flour until the yeast had worked its way through all the dough." Jesus said all these things to the crowds in parables, and he spoke to them only in parables. This was to fulfill what the prophet spoke, "I will speak in parables, I'll declare what has been hidden since the beginning of the world." Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus replied, "The one who plants the good seed is the human one. The field is the world. And the good seeds are the followers of the kingdom. But the weeds are the followers of the evil one. The enemy who planted them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the present age. The harvesters are the angels. Just as people gather weeds and burn them in a fire, so it will be at the end of the present age. The human one will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that cause people to fall away and all people who sin. He will throw them into a burning furnace. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Those who have ears should hear." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Should it please you to speak to this unworthy servant, then speak and all things. Speak to us as only you can in the silence of our hearts. Amen. Well, a week ago, when I wasn't with you, I was in St. Vincent, where they tell you to rest before waking you up every 2 hours to take your blood pressure and your temperature and everything else. Well, sometime before dawn on Sunday morning, I heard someone come into the room, and I thought, here it goes again, get some rest, but wake up so I can take your blood pressure. I rolled over, and standing over me, holding a rosary, was a nun. Now, to my Protestant heart, that was not an immediately comforting sight. Because my first thought was, oh no, they brought in the big artillery. I must really be in trouble. Turns out, this sister and I have a mutual friend who told her I was there. So before Mass, she stopped by to visit me, which was a very gracious and thoughtful thing. And we had a good visit. And one church professional to another, we were talking about what had been going on. And by this time, the doctors had diagnosed me pretty much certainly with a case of acute stress from Friday. And she said, "Well, what's been going on?" So I told her. I said, "I had the great honor of chairing a committee for our national church that writes and administers the ordination exams for all of our candidates for ministry. And there was an enormous controversy over one of them this year. And as providence would have it, mine is the only name on the website. So I had a great big red target painted on me all week long. And thanks to the wonderful blessing of Facebook, he says sarcastically, I got to hear from everybody who had an opinion. All week long. All day. Every day. Then they got my phone number. Then they got my email address. And I said, sister, right now I'm to the point of processing how I'm going to manage this in my professional life, because a lot of people I know I'm very angry with right now. They've really hurt me and wronged me. And without missing a beat, she said, it sounds like you have a lot of forgiving to do. God must love you a lot. I thought about that for a minute, shifted the conversation to small talk, thanked her for coming by, and then just sat with that thought for a little while. God must love you a lot, all the forgiving you have to do. Not the first thought that came to my mind. The first thought that came to my mind was, I'm going to find the neighbor who threw all these seeds or weeds in my field. Because my field is overflowing with weeds this week. I am full up with people and opinions that are choking out the wheat in my life. And I'm not really in a forgiving the weeds mode right now. I want to roll up my sleeves and go out there and start pulling weeds and throwing them out of my field. Just get rid of all of them. And I mean, I was getting myself worked up in a pretty good lather, which the doctor did not want me to do. So I thought, don't do that. Think about next Sunday. Church calms you. Think about your sermon. So I got out the text. And I read that parable, and I thought to myself, really? That's this week? The whole Bible. And that's the parable I get laying there in the hospital with my nun. Telling me what a blessing all these weeds are in my life. Truth, of course, is she was right. And the truth of the parable is Jesus is right. Our instinct, anytime anything enters our life that is not what we planted and planned, is to dig it up and get rid of it. To take it by the roots and throw it from our field. That's not what I planted, God. What is this weed doing in my garden? That was the servant's instinct in the parable that Jesus told, was to do just that. They saw their employer's field beginning to blossom with weeds. And they knew that every drop of water those weeds took up was one drop of water the wheat didn't get. Every bit of shade those weeds caused was one ray of sunshine that wheat didn't get to absorb. So they thought to themselves, we need to get out there and weed this field. The farmer had a little more experience and knew that if you go out and you just rip the weeds out of the ground, you're going to find that they're tied up to the roots of your wheat. And you're going to lose it all. Jesus says in the parable, the field is the world. I want to wager this morning that the field is not only the world. The field is also us. Jesus is talking to us on a cosmic level, but also on a very personal one. Because all of us have weeds we did not plant growing in our garden that we have to contend with on a daily basis, that we have to have the wisdom to know how to manage so that we don't tear down our own harvest by getting the momentary satisfaction of having a clean and clear field. Part of the reason I'm not standing up there this morning is I've been wanting to preach down here, and I've been here a year. So I thought, 53rd week, why not? But also because sometimes as a preacher, pulpits get in the way. This is one of those moments when the sermon that I wrote this week, I'm really just inviting you to listen in on. This is a physician heal thyself sermon for me. Because up until this week, I mean, I was ready to pull some weeds out of my vocational garden. I've had friends and colleagues who have said things to and about me in the last week that absolutely broke my heart. Absolutely astonished me. And I'm going to tell you something. I was ready to say them back. I had my list, and it wasn't Christmas. There wasn't a good list. There was just a naughty list. And I was ready to start writing some emails and sending some text messages and making some phone calls. I was ready to reach down there and grab those weeds by the throat and yank them out of my garden and let them know why they were leaving. But thankfully, before I got a chance to do that, my body and my spirit conspired with one another to slow me down for a few days, to give me a chance to meet my parable nun, to give me a chance to reflect on how I am called to live in this moment. And I realized I was being faced with a choice. I could react in anger. I could react with meeting anger with anger, vitriol with vitriol, insult with insult. But if I did that, I would have to change my name tag to say, hello, my name is Hypocrite. Because week after week, I preach this gospel that says, that's not the way. The gospel's way for each and every one of us when we find ourselves in these moments is to remember that in this moment, all these people are weeds in my garden. But a lot of the time, I'm the weed in theirs. I'm the weed in theirs. Each and every one of us has it within us to be the wheat and the weeds. Each of us has it in us to be the crop of blessing or the crop of burden. Christ knew that, which is why he told his disciples, don't worry about parsing the plants during this life. That will be handled in time. Because when the kingdom of God comes, all that is not a blessing on the people of God will be tied up and thrown into the furnace. But all that is what blesses, all that is what reflects the gospel, all that is what nurtures will be tied up and put into the storage to nurture and care for the children of God. You see, friends, when the kingdom of God comes, it's not that some people are in and some people are out. It is that finally in the kingdom of God, those parts of all people that grow weeds in the garden will be no more. And what will remain of us is what God created in God's image.
It's not that we are left in or left out. It's that what is in us that is of God is preserved. And the burden of the rest is put aside. That's the promise of the parable of Jesus today. And looking back over the last week, I don't just find that comforting to know that those things that my friends said will not endure into the kingdom of God. I also find it really comforting that the things I thought about the things my friends said will not endure into the kingdom of God. God must love you very much, as much forgiving as you have to do that none implied. And she was right. It is a blessing to forgive and to be forgiven. It is a blessing to learn together to live with our imperfections, with our peculiarities, to learn to live side by side in the field of God's world, knowing that not all about us and not all about our neighbor is of God. But in the end, what is will persevere, and what is not will be no more. Because friends, the pains of this world, the conflicts of this world, the disputes and the despairs of this world are just that. They are of this world. They are not part of the kingdom of God. And that is Christ's promise to us, that what is of God will endure, and that which is not will be taken care of in God's good time. May we find comfort that we, in our imperfections, are still cherished by our perfect God. Amen.
Friends, all that we have and all that we are gifts from God's loving hands. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. You will find the offering boxes at the front of the intermediate aisles of the sanctuary.
I would invite our elders and deacon-elect to come down, please, if you will, for our ordination and installation. There are different gifts, but it's the same Spirit who gives them. There are varieties of ways to serve God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through people in different ways, but it is the same God who inspires a faithful response. Each one is given gifts by the Spirit to use for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ. Through the voice of this congregation and the work of the Holy Spirit, God has called Ann and Roy, Bill, Alice, Ann, Nancy, Carol, Charlotte, Brenda, and Joy to the joyful work of the kingdom of God in the role of deacon and ruling elder. The elders and deacons of the church are part of the ordered ministries of the church. In our tradition, we do not believe that any one or two or any number are lifted above others. We are instead called out to be servant leaders within the body of Christ, walking the journey of faith together. You have accepted the call of the congregation to take on the responsibilities of this office. So I ask you now to respond to the questions of ordination and installation. If you've already been ordained, I ask you these questions again. Just as they are asked of pastors every time they are installed, we ask them of elders and deacons every time they come to service in the church. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge Him Lord of all and Head of the church,
and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you? Do you accept the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be by the Holy Spirit the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? Do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church, as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you? Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ alone, under the authority of Scripture, and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you? Will you be governed by our church's polity? And will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? Will you? Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you? Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you? To the deacons, I ask this question. Will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love, the grace, and the justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? And to the elders, will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
I will.
And to the congregation, do we, the members of the church, accept these men and women as elders and deacons chosen by God through the voice of the congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? We do. Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? As the ordination prayer is read, I invite all who are ordained as ministers or elders in any tradition to come for the laying on of hands. You're fine. You're fine. We'll just surround you. It's like when you're playing tag, electricity, you know? Let us pray. Eternal God, we give thanks for your steadfast faithfulness to us. In every age, you have called forth leaders to serve you and equipped them with your gifts. Among your people Israel, you anointed prophets, priests, and rulers. You called pastors and teachers, bishops, elders, and deacons to build up your church. With Moses, the 70 elders bore the burdens of your people, ministering in the power of your Spirit. Alongside the apostles, deacons cared for all in need and guarded the community's peace. In the church, deacons, elders, and pastors served together so that your whole people might be equipped for ministry and built up into the full unity of Christ. For your servants in every age, O God, and for the church of Jesus Christ, we give you all thanks and praise. God of grace and mercy, pour your Holy Spirit upon Alice, Anne, Nancy, Carol, Charlotte, Brenda, and Joy, that they may be faithful deacons in the church. Give them openness to the Holy Spirit's leading, that they may see and serve wherever there is need.
Train them in the school of prayer that they may express the compassion of Christ for the poor and the friendless, the sick, the grieving, and the troubled. Equip them with courage to bear the gospel into the halls of power and to communicate your presence and might among those who are powerless. Give them joy in their walk of faith and a sure sense of your abiding presence for their work in ministry. God of grace, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Anne and Roy, that they may be your faithful elders in the church. Give them prudence and sound judgment, wisdom and courage to order the life of the church in obedience to your word. Nourish them in the life of the Holy Spirit, that they may exercise the ministry of discipline with humility and compassion. Guide them in governance on this session and in every court of the church, that they may be servant leaders following Christ, who came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve, not to be to be over, but to be with. Give them joy in their walk of faith and a sure sense of your abiding presence for their work in ministry. Gracious God, through the waters of baptism, you have claimed us as your own and called us to share in Christ's ministry. Make us strong in Christ to live as your people and show forth your saving love in the world. By the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. Friends, the laying on of hands, the saying of your vows, and the prayers of this congregation, you are ordained and installed to the offices to which you've been called. May this be a blessing for you, just as you are each and every one a blessing to the church. Amen. As we prepare to go to God in prayer this morning, I have a few particular prayer concerns to lift up to you. Of course, as we have all seen in the news, the tragedy in Turkey and Syria following the earthquake, I hope that you will keep the people of Turkey and Syria in your prayer, as well as the number of international aid workers who are trying to make their way into that area to help those who are in need. We, of course, continue to pray for the people of Ukraine as they continue to deal with the war in that country. I would also invite you to lift up in your prayers the church. This has been a difficult 2 weeks for our denomination. And as we come out of it, I hope that you will pray that those who have opinions that differ from one another may work together in grace and in kindness and in the love of Christ, that we might find a way forward together. Finally, I also invite you to keep in your prayers, if you will, our friends at Presbyterian Village, where they are dealing with a COVID outbreak. This is, of course, luckily, it's a milder strain of COVID, apparently, but it is never a welcome thing. So please keep the residents and the staff at the village in your prayers. Friends, let's turn to God in a word of prayer. Gracious and merciful God, you do great things with small things. With the mustard seed, you grow a plant great enough to shelter the birds of the air. And with the folly of our lives, you manage to build your church. We give you thanks that by the work and wisdom of your Spirit, this place of gathering endures today as a place of growth and love, a place of forgiveness and repentance, a place of renewal and restoration. We ask, O God, that you would take those things that shape us as a people and use them to shape the world around us. More and more, O God, our world has become allergic to civility
resistant to community. Give us, O God, the courage to bear the witness of Jesus Christ into this broken and sinful world. Not that we may lord faith over our neighbors, but that we may be more effective in inviting them into the joy of the community of God. We pray, O God, for your children who suffer today. For the people of Turkey and Syria. For those whose suffering is not known to us. For those whose suffering has gone on so long, we've become deaf to their voices. Ignite in us, O God, a compassion that knows no bounds. We pray, O God, for the people of Ukraine, caught in the midst of a war between competing global visions. We pray for the mothers trying to care for children, the shopkeepers trying to keep their doors open, the doctors and nurses caring for the broken and the sick. We pray, O God, also for the leaders of all nations that in the midst of violence and war, cooler heads may prevail, and that we may all come to realize that we are nurtured and grow together in the one field of God that is this world. We pray for those who are close to our hearts, our friends and our neighbors, for the residents and staff and family of residents at the Presbyterian Village who are dealing with this COVID outbreak. We pray, O God, that it will be swift and that it will be mild and that it will soon be in the past. For those in our community who woke up this morning without a roof over their head, for children who woke up this morning and may go to bed tonight without food in their bellies, for those who seek to make our communities better places, we pray, O God. We pray for all of those that you have taught us to pray for, and ask your wisdom to care for all of those for whom you have called us to care. And where, O God, our forgiveness is needed, may we give it. And may we have the wisdom to know where we need to seek forgiveness from one another. We pray all of these things, O God, in the joyful knowledge that our prayers fall on listening ears. So we pray them not only joyfully, but we pray boldly in the words that Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, go into this day to love and serve the Lord with gladness and with singleness of heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the everlasting companionship of the Holy Spirit be with us and keep us in this and in every day. And one word by all God's children say, Amen.